Hello, welcome to Second Impressions, the Pride and Prejudice podcast. My name is Grace,
And I'm Tom.
and we're going through Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice chapter by chapter. And today we are reading Volume 3, Chapter 16.
Big stuff happens here.
But before we get ahead of ourselves, Tom, why don't you give us the quickest recap of what happened in Chapter 15?
All right, I won't trifle with our impatience. okay, in Chapter 15, Elizabeth is still reeling from Lady Catherine's visit when Mr. Bennet calls her into his room and says he has a letter that he wants to talk to her about, and the letter is from none other than Mr. Collins, who basically just parrots what Lady Catherine's already said. Like, Lady Catherine doesn't want... He says, first off, congratulations on Jane's marriage. Secondly, Lady Catherine doesn't want Elizabeth to marry Darcy.
Yeah.
And Mr. Bennet thinks this is hilarious. He has no idea that anything has happened between Elizabeth and Darcy. All he knows is, like, his information level is basically still Volume 1, which is Darcy's odious and Elizabeth hates him, right?
Yeah.
And, like, they argue all the time, and there's no chance of them getting married. So Mr. Bennet just thinks this is a hilarious, like, misconception on the part of Collins. And Elizabeth does not share in Mr. Bennet's laughter. If anything, it kind of distresses her, because it's like, is it that crazy to think that me and Darcy could be together? That's kind of her thoughts.
Yeah.
All right, so that's where we leave them in Chapter 15. What happens in Chapter 16, Grace?
All right, without giving too much away, because I feel like a lot of the good bits are in the chapter, and I don't want to give it away. So in Chapter 16, basically, it's a few days later, after Lady Catherine's unannounced visit, Bingley and Darcy arrive at Longbourn, and they and the girls decide to go out for a walk, through some happenstance. Mm-hmm. Elizabeth and Darcy end up walking together alone, and without giving too much away, basically everything sort of comes out into the open. Elizabeth heartily thanks Darcy for saving Lydia's life, basically, and Darcy kind of apologizes for having led her to find out that it was his doing, because he didn't want her to feel uneasy about the situation, about him getting involved. And they both sort of like just talk about how badly they behaved in the past, and then they just kind of keep walking, and then without giving too much away, they end up back at Longbourn, and that's kind of just how the chapter ends.
Okay,
let's get into it already. All right. Do you want to start?
Sure, I'll start reading for us. Chapter 16. It starts, instead of receiving any such letter of excuse from his friend, as Elizabeth half expected Mr. Bingley to do, he was able to bring Darcy with him to Longbourn before many days had passed after Lady Catherine's visit. So, again, picking up right where we left off, it says, instead of receiving any such letter of excuse from his friend, as Elizabeth half expected Mr. Bingley to do, meaning Elizabeth was thinking that Darcy was going to write Bingley a letter being like, I can't come. I know what we had planned for me to come, but here's an excuse for why I can't come. That's what Elizabeth was anticipating to happen, right?
Yes.
But in reality, Mr. Bingley actually brought Darcy. Not only did Darcy come, but Mr. Bingley brought him to Longbourn with him next time they visited.
Darcy in the flesh.
Mm-hmm. The gentleman arrived early, and before Mrs. Bennet had time to tell him of their having seen his aunt, of which her daughter sat in momentary dread, Bingley, who wanted to be alone with Jane, proposed their all walking out. So what a felicitous morning so far. Here's Darcy, unexpected, and Mrs. Bennet doesn't even get a chance to talk about how Lady Catherine was here.
Yeah.
And why do you think Elizabeth probably doesn't want that to come up?
I mean, well, first of all, Mrs. Bennet's just ignorant of everything that has happened, and mm-hmm. It would just be further opportunity for Mrs. Bennet to embarrass herself in front of Mr. Darcy.
Yeah, and also it's just going to be, you know, awkward to, like, talk about Lady Catherine. Elizabeth knows, you know, she's chided Elizabeth herself. Elizabeth suspects that she's probably talked to Darcy also.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, Mrs. Bennet does not have time to be to be bothersome.
Yeah, Bingley to the rescue. He proposes that everyone go for a walk.
Yep. It was agreed to. Mrs. Bennet was not in the habit of walking. Mary could never spare the time. But the remaining five set off together. I like that.
That's funny. What were you going to say?
Well, I like that Mrs. Bennet is just not in the habit of walking. That's not, like, a pastime of hers.
Yeah, it's... Right. I guess, like, now, Had Mr. Bingley not proposed to Jane yet, then maybe she would have made herself walk just to,
Maybe,
babysit Bingley and
yeah.
Jane to make sure that something comes of it.
We hardly ever see Mrs. Bennet out of the house. She goes to the Netherfield Ball. She rides there in a carriage.
Yeah, she goes to balls. She goes to the Meryton Assembly. Was she there?
She was there, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, so she goes to the balls. I guess she goes where when she where she thinks she's
She goes where there's a
necessary,
party to
right?
be had.
Young men to be coerced into marrying her daughters.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think she's just like probably more happy just sitting at home.
Yeah.
And of course, why can't Mary spare the time?
She's just too busy writing extracts, playing
Making,
the piano,
yeah.
philosophizing.
Exactly.
But the remaining five set off together. All right, so who are the five here? We have Bingley, Jane, Elizabeth, Darcy, and what's her face? And
Exactly.
Kitty.
Fifth wheel in here. But don't worry, we'll get rid of her soon too. Okay. Blah blah blah. The remaining five set off together. Bingley and Jane, however, soon allowed the others to outstrip them.
Classic couple-y thing to do. It's like, oh, let's all go for a walk, and then they just end up falling to the back of the group.
They lagged behind while Elizabeth, Kitty, and Darcy were to entertain each other. This is a fun moment here. The three of them, like, I can't imagine much talk is happening right now.
This is like a perverse, what's the word? That word where it's like three people. Because remember when they were at Netherfield, Elizabeth. It was Darcy, Miss Bingley, and Mrs. Hurst, and they were like, "Oh, Elizabeth, come with us." And she's like, "I don't want to spoil this
I'm not
image."
sure, like the
Yeah,
symmetry.
kind of something like that. And I feel like this is like a perversion of that, like Darcy with like Elizabeth on one side and Kitty on the other side. Oh, like a picturesque.
Picturesque,
Yeah.
I guess that's how it would be. Darcy would probably be in the middle, although I like to imagine Kitty in the middle, just to. And of course, Kitty has no idea that there's any sort of like tension between Darcy and
No.
Elizabeth.
Mr. What's his face?
Very little was said by either. Kitty was much too afraid of him to talk. Elizabeth was secretly forming a desperate resolution, and perhaps he might be doing the same. All right, just another like nice detail that Darcy scares Kitty.
Yeah, Darcy scares everyone.
But
Yeah.
especially Kitty,
But
she's
it's
so like, yeah, go ahead.
No, yeah, you're right. She's so impressionable, and she's had so little like world experience, like, and she's not very clever, unfortunately. So, yeah, I'm sure this is the last group that she wanted to be stuck with was Darcy and Elizabeth.
Kitty is definitely the most weak and like ill-willed of the not ill-willed, that's the wrong word.
Weak-willed.
Weak-willed, yeah, of the all the daughters. All the daughter, you know, I guess she's kind of like Jane in that way, except Jane is way more outgoing and charming and interesting and intelligent.
Yeah, Kitty, she does not have a lot of personality. She's about as charismatic as like a cardboard box.
And she's very easily, impressed by people,
Yeah.
especially Lydia. Okay, but anyway, we're not talking about Kitty now. And Elizabeth was secretly forming a desperate resolution, and perhaps Darcy might be doing the same. What do you think this desperate resolution is?
Perhaps a proposal in the making?
Something,
Something. And perhaps he might be doing the same. They might be forming the same scheme. They just don't know it. I'll pick up. They walked towards the Lucases because Kitty wished to call upon Maria. Thank God. And as Elizabeth saw no occasion for making it a general concern, when Kitty left them, she went boldly on with him alone. So Kitty goes to see the Lucases, and now it's just Elizabeth and Darcy.
And it is true that, this boldly is not misplaced. It's kind of a little unheard of for the time to be like these two people, these two young people, a man and woman, who aren't related to be walking out alone.
Yeah, it is not in a bad way, but it is presumptuous.
Yeah, it if people saw them, it would people would assume things about their relationship. Like, these two young people just walking alone.
Yeah.
But I think it signals both of their intentions.
Now was the moment for her resolution to be executed. And while her courage was high, she immediately said, "Mr. Darcy, I am a very selfish creature, and for the sake of giving relief to my own feelings, care not how much I may be wounding yours. I can no longer help thanking you for your unexampled kindness to my poor sister. Ever since I've known it, I have been most anxious to acknowledge to you how gratefully I feel it. Were it known to the rest of my family, I should not have merely my own gratitude to express. So, cat's out of the bag. She's like, I know that you are responsible for saving my sister's life, for...
Or her reputation, at least.
Or, yeah, I know, life, reputation, same thing. Yeah, like, thank you so much for rescuing my sister, and, I've been wanting to tell you this for so long, and if my family knew about it, then they would be equally thankful. It would not just be me thanking you right now.
Right. I can no longer help thanking you. Meaning, like, I can't resist thanking you any longer.
Yeah.
All right. I am sorry, exceedingly sorry, replied Darcy, in a tone of surprise and emotion, that you have ever been informed of what may, in a mistaken light, have given you uneasiness. I did not think Mrs. Gardiner was so little to be trusted. Okay, so Darcy's just basically like, I'm sorry you had to hear this, because I know that this might, it might seem like you're under my, like you owe me a favor now or something.
Yeah, like, I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want you to feel like now you're in my debt.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, kind of like, I didn't want you to feel like now you're pressured into marrying me.
Right.
So, very gentlemanly.
Exactly.
Elizabeth goes, you must not blame my aunt. Lydia's thoughtlessness first betrayed to me that you have been concerned in the matter. And of course, I could not rest till I knew the particulars. So that's true. It's not like Mrs. Gardiner ran to Elizabeth and spilled the beans. Like, Lydia's blabbermouth blurted it out.
Yeah, it's Lydia's fault. Mrs. Gardiner did want to tell Elizabeth, and she kind of thought Elizabeth might have known already, but...
Yeah, so like... It's like all Mrs. Gardiner did was not lie to Elizabeth's face.
Yeah, exactly.
Let me thank you again and again, in the name of all my family, for that generous compassion which induced you to take so much trouble and bear so many mortifications for the sake of discovering them. Discovering Lydia and Wickham.
Right. Mortifications is a great word, because he had to, remember, he had to talk to Mrs. Young, the woman who helped Wickham abduct Miss Darcy.
Yeah, the first time around.
Then he had to go, like, sleuthing around these, like, dark alleys of London.
Yeah.
And then he had to confront Wickham face-to-face, his, like, most hated enemy.
Yeah. And then he had to, like, pay him off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's mortifying.
Yeah.
Okay. If you will thank me, he replied, let it be for yourself alone, that the wish of giving happiness to you might add force to the other inducements which led me on, I shall not attempt to deny. But your family owe me nothing. Much as I respect them, I thought only of you. So I think it's, I believe I thought only of you. Is that what he's saying?
I think so.
Okay, well, there's a lot I want to talk about here. So he's like, if you have to thank me, only thank me for yourself, right? That the wish of giving you happiness might add force to the other inducements which led me on, I shall not attempt to deny.
So Darcy's saying, I'm not going to deny that the wish of giving you happiness added to the other reasons that made me try to seek them out.
Yes. So Darcy's stated motivations in, like, you know, paying off Wickham to marry Lydia is that he feels like he should have made Wickham's character more widely known and that it's, like, his fault somehow. I don't buy that motivation too much.
Yeah.
But he's saying that, like, okay, you know what? Well, that was my main motivation, but also wanting to make you happy. I'm not going to deny that that was one of my motivations also, right?
Right. Hence, that's why he's like, if you want to thank me, thank only for yourself, because I wasn't thinking about your family.
Yeah, exactly. He says so much. I thought only of you. But then here, this is great. But your family owe me nothing. And this is a really changed Darcy. Much as I respect them, I act only for you.
I think this is 100% just a phrase out of courtesy. I don't think he's like thinking about any modicum of respect he feels for Elizabeth's family.
I think he respects the Gardiners.
Yeah.
And that is extended family. I think he's going to force himself into it, respecting the immediate Bennet family.
Yeah, he kind of has to.
He respects Jane.
That's true.
Or he's come to respect her. I don't think he respected her a whole lot when he was ruining her marriage.
Well, he did say, like, in the terrible proposal, like, he excludes Jane and Elizabeth.
That's true.
From the terribleness of their family. But regardless, it's like, he is definitely has eaten a lot of crow in order to get him to say, much as I respect them.
Well, that was his main, like, in the first proposal, he made it very clear that he did not like the Bennet family.
He liked Elizabeth in spite of the whole family.
But, yeah, and then the important thing is, I did this for you. The reason I paid off Wickham and Lydia is not because I, like, care about your family. It's because I care about you, right? Mm-hmm, yeah. It's not because I wanted to save Lydia's reputation, really.
Well, yeah, because, like, at first he's, like, saying, oh, it might have added force to other inducements. But then he ends it with, I believe I thought only of you. Like, that's the real reason. Maybe he felt like it might be actually the other way around. He mostly did it for Elizabeth. And then, like, a part of him thought maybe it was time for him to sort of, like, take his lumps and correct, like, the mistake he made with not revealing Wickham's true nature.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Elizabeth was too much embarrassed to say a word. After a short pause, her companion added, "You are too generous to trifle with me. If your feelings are still what they were last April, tell me so at once. My affections and wishes are unchanged, but one word from you will silence me on this subject forever." All right, so here we get to the real crux of it, and Darcy's saying what he wants to, which is that, you know, I know you're not going to trifle and toy with me any longer, right? Mm-hmm. If your feelings are still what they were last April when I proposed to you last time, tell me so at once. And what were Elizabeth's feelings last time I proposed?
That Darcy would be the last man she would ever be prevailed on to marry.
Yeah, so Darcy's like, do you still feel that way? Tell me now. My affections and wishes are unchanged, meaning I still want to marry you. But if you give me the word, if you just tell me you don't want it, then I'll never bring this subject up again.
Mm. I mean, Yeah, this is, it's like he already hints at it by saying, I thought only of you when I was trying to rescue Lydia and Wickham. Mm-hmm. That's like already like, he is initiating, reopening this conversation. And then like, after a pause, he more elaborates and say like, my feelings for you haven't changed. But if your feelings also haven't changed, if they're still the same that they were, then I won't ever bring it up again.
Mm-hmm. This is the proposal.
This is the proposal.
This is, he doesn't get down on his knees. There's no, will you marry me? This is the proposal we get.
No, like, flowery language
here. How do you feel about that?
I mean, I like it. I think this is true tension here. This is, like, real tension.
Uh-huh. Well, there's, like, I mean, Darcy doesn't know. He really doesn't know what Elizabeth's gonna say.
Yeah.
He's almost, like, preparing himself to get another rejection.
That's also true. That's, yeah. Plus, I don't know, we've seen him propose already.
Yeah, that's right.
We've seen him do it already. Uh-huh. We got one out of him.
I think, like, if there, like, is a reason for why this is such kind of, like, a bare-bone, straightforward, rational-sounding proposal is because it is, you know, he's coming to her in, like, modesty now.
Yeah.
Where before, his last proposal was the epitome of pride. He is now, like, asking her humbly and modestly, and even with the, well, we're going to talk about this more, but with the idea that she could say no, which is something he didn't have when he first proposed.
That's right, yeah.
He's acknowledging, like, this isn't a sure thing now.
Yeah, he's almost he's the proposal kind of, a little bit, it's more hopeful, it's more like he's hoping she'll say yes rather than, like, he knows for a fact she'll say yes.
Uh-huh. And he's like, but if you say no, then, you know, I'll respect that choice too.
Mm-hmm. Whereas he certainly did not respect that choice the first time.
And I think that's actually, I don't know, that's a very, I think that's, you know, purposeful there. Like, Austin thinks that's part of a good proposal, is you shouldn't just expect someone to say yes, or you should, like, listen if they say no. Which is, you know, he didn't do that in his first proposal. Colin certainly never expected a no from Elizabeth in his proposal. There was no words about, like, oh, just tell me no and I'll shut up. Collins will never promise to not talk.
Yeah, there's no humility involved. I mean, proposing should be, it's an inherent act of humility. You are, either literally or figuratively, you're on your knees, mm-hmm. you're asking the question. Like, it's not, if the proposal was a definite yes, there would not be a question involved. But a proposal is literally a question. You are putting yourself in a vulnerable position, as it should be. It should not be like, I hate your parents, but you will marry me.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
All right, how does Elizabeth react?
Elizabeth, feeling all the more than common awkwardness and anxiety of his situation, now forced herself to speak, and immediately, though not very fluently, gave him to understand that her sentiments had undergone so material a change since the period to which he alluded, as to make her receive with gratitude and pleasure his present assurances.
Okay, let's pause there. So, she accepts.
Kinda. Yeah, more or less.
Yeah, it's a match.
Yeah, it works. She says,
Well, can we talk about this first?
Yeah.
Like, feeling all the more than common awkwardness and anxiety of his situation.
Well, she's empathizing with him.
Yeah, I think it's like, you know, this situation commonly is kind of awkward and anxious, right? But, like, it's even more so in this instance because of all the history they have together, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now forced herself to speak.
Okay.
And immediately, though not very fluently, for once I think Elizabeth is at a loss for words,
uh-huh.
gave him to understand that yes, she has, her sentiments have undergone a change
mm-hmm.
since last April, that now she receives all of she receives his present assurance that his feelings are still the same.
That he loves her, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
With gratitude and pleasure.
Yeah.
It's not like, yeah, I know, it's really sweet. It's not like the first time he proposed, she was like, oh, God, no. Now she's like, oh, thank God. He still feels the same way.
I like the gratitude and pleasure. Mm-hmm. It's like, just gratitude on its own, it would not make for a good marriage, you know?
No, but the pleasure, the fact that he makes her happy, that he makes her feel good,
mm-hmm.
that, I think, is, yeah, like you said, integral to a happy marriage.
And I think just pleasure on its own wouldn't be as good a marriage either.
No, that's what Lydia Wickham
yeah.
Purely pleasure-driven.
Okay, all right.
The happiness which this reply produced was such as he had probably never felt before, and he expressed himself on the occasion as sensibly and as warmly as a man violently in love can be supposed to do. A lot of modifiers here.
Uh-huh. Yeah, you know, this all happens through reported dialogue. I think the clues to why that is because Elizabeth is not very eloquent, right?
Right now.
Yeah, and her accepting, you know, understandably. And so Austin almost needs to come in and, like, tell us this is what happened. That
yeah.
Elizabeth can't say my emotions went under so material a change, you know. But so Austin's like, here, this is what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
And this, yeah, go ahead.
No, yeah, we don't get the dialogue. We don't get to see how she replies.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not really important what she says, because what's important is the feeling. And Jane Austen, the narrator is coming in being like, this is how she's feeling. This is what's important, is how Elizabeth feels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can't, you know, the feelings is almost too strong for them to be able to put into words at this moment where they're both kind of, like, in a heightened emotional state anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And so the same with Darcy, like, he'd probably never, we jump in, I believe we're in his perspective here when it says
I think we're still in the narrator's.
I mean, it's hard to say. Because it could just be, it's like, oh, based on his expressions, he had probably never been happier before, right? What he says.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I kind of read it as, like, this is almost even the limitations of the author, where, like, or sorry, the narrator, where, like, the narrator doesn't know every feeling Darcy's ever had.
It is, the probably is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does make it seem like, oh, it's an outside observation. It's not coming from Darcy's brain.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the argument for it is in Darcy's perspective could be that maybe Darcy doesn't know himself. Like, he can't put definite terms to these feelings. I don't know. It could go either way. It's not really that important. The important thing is that he had probably never been happier before.
Yeah.
And he expressed himself on the occasion as sensibly and warmly as a man violently in love can be supposed to do.
I like that. Can be supposed to do. It's like, what can you expect from a man violently in love?
Uh-huh. Well, I think that's another, like, clue is why this is reported. It's like, he, you know, Darcy is not, like, speaking eloquently
yeah.
right now. Uh-huh.
Neither Elizabeth nor Darcy are speaking eloquently right now. But that doesn't, the lack of eloquence does not represent the pure love that they feel for each other in this moment. And that's, like, why the narrator kind of wants to take over from here. It's almost like, I feel like I'm just repeating myself, but yeah, the feeling can't be accurately expressed through how awkward and clumsy their language is right now. And so, like, we don't need to go through that. We don't need to see them stumbling over their words, because it's not a true reflection of how they feel.
We already know that, like, Elizabeth distrusts the tropes of romantic poetry, you know?
Yeah, that's
so
true.
That's the last thing she'd want to hear now is Darcy, like, you know, reciting a sonnet that he wrote for her or something.
Yeah. It's also, I don't know, maybe this is just my reading, but it gives the characters a bit of privacy in this moment.
I like that.
Like, this is not, we don't need to hear what they say now. It's like, we got to where we wanted to get to. Like, they're engaged. Like, what more do you want?
Uh-huh.
Like, let's give this moment to themselves.
Okay. Yeah, let's finish this paragraph.
Had Elizabeth been able to encounter his eye, she might have seen how well the expression of heartfelt delight diffused over his face became him. But, though she could not look, she could listen, and he told her of feelings which, in proving of what importance she was to him, made his affection every moment more valuable.
Hmm. Well, this is definitely the narrator being like, Darcy is more handsome when he's in love. That's
yeah.
what this is saying. It's like, Elizabeth is too, like, you know, too emotional to even meet his eye right now. But if she could see him, she would see that this, like, new expression, this, like, the warmth that love has given his expression makes him all the more handsome, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The expression of heartfelt delight diffused over his face became him. It means, like, it fits him.
Uh-huh.
This new expression that comes from loving Elizabeth and being loved by Elizabeth makes him more handsome.
Yes, and Darcy did not have heartfelt delight in his face before this. But I think it's almost like, it's almost Austin being like, you know, I know we all thought prideful Darcy was still handsome, but don't worry, like, even when he's in love and humble, in fact, he's even more handsome, right?
Yeah. Take that as a lesson, men. Humility makes you more handsome.
Yes. And then, so Elizabeth, while not looking at his eye, told him of feelings which, in proving of what importance she was to him, made his affection every moment more valuable. Oh, wait,
so
she could listen. He told her the feelings.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So she's listening to him, and it's like,
he told her of feelings which, in proving of what importance she was to him, made his affection every moment more valuable. So what Darcy is telling Elizabeth is, like, how important she is to him.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, what role he wants her to play in his life, kind of.
Yeah.
And, like, what she does for him, which is, like, make him happy, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what is being said.
Yeah.
And then when Elizabeth is hearing this, she's already in love with Darcy, but it's making his affection more valuable.
Mm-hmm. Because it's coming from him, and because it's the things that he talks about is about how Elizabeth is important to him. And
mm-hmm.
so in that way, his affection is more valuable. It's not just that he has affection for her, it's that he actually values her.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Good point. And that she's important.
And that makes his, yeah, the value Darcy has, or the importance Darcy puts on Elizabeth, or like how he values her, makes his affection more valuable.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
They walked on, without knowing in what direction. There was too much to be thought, and felt, and said, for attention to any other objects. She soon learnt that they were indebted for their present good understanding to the efforts of his aunt, who did call on him in her return through London, and there relate her journey to Longbourn, its motive, and the substance of her conversation with Elizabeth.
Mm-hmm.
Dwelling emphatically on every expression of the latter of Elizabeth, which, in her ladyship's apprehension, peculiarly denoted her perverseness and assurance in the belief that such a relation must assist her endeavors to obtain that promise from her nephew, which she had refused to give.
Oof, that's a long sentence.
Yeah. All right, so...
Okay, so the match has been made. You know, they are engaged, basically.
Yeah.
And now it's just tying up the loose ends. Like, how do we get here, right?
Right. Well, yeah, and then turns out, ironically, in true, like, dramatic irony, turns out Lady Catherine, after she left Longbourn, she went to London and gave Mr. Darcy a piece of her mind.
Yes. So, yeah, she related their journey to Longbourn. It's motive, the reason she went, right?
Which is to dissuade Elizabeth from accepting a proposal.
And the substance of the conversation with Elizabeth. Yep. Everything that we saw two chapters ago.
Mm-hmm.
Lady Catherine dwells emphatically on every expression of Elizabeth. I can imagine she's, like, bringing up all these kind of short answers Elizabeth gave her as being like, how dare she, you know, getting angry again.
Yeah.
Okay, dwelling emphatically on every expression of Elizabeth, which, in her ladyship's apprehension, like in her mind, denoted Elizabeth's perverseness and assurance.
Like the audacity.
Uh-huh. Well, in
the nerve.
Yeah, in Lady Catherine's mind, Elizabeth is, like, was in that conversation already steadfastly set on marrying Darcy.
Mm-hmm.
And she thought that's, of course, the height of perversity and, like, assurance. Assurance meaning what?
Like, to have the nerve to just do whatever you want to do.
Yeah, exactly.
To be so self-assured, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. To think that you, a lowly Bennet, could marry Mr. Darcy, kind
yeah,
of.
Yeah, you a lowly hussy.
Okay, and Lady Catherine tells Darcy all of this in the belief that telling such a story, right, such a mm-hmm. relation, must assist her endeavors to attain that promise from her nephew, which Elizabeth had refused to give.
Yeah.
So, Lady Catherine goes to Darcy, tells him this whole story about Longbourn, and she believes that that's going to make Mr. Darcy agree not to marry Elizabeth, I guess, right?
That was the promise. That was the promise that she didn't get from Elizabeth that she was hoping she would get from her nephew,
mm-hmm.
aka Mr. Darcy. That's hilarious.
Okay, well, let's read this last sentence.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Oh, but unluckily for her ladyship, its effect had been exactly contrariwise.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she, it's just funny because, yeah, she kind of just nailed her, she kind of, what's the word, like, put the nail in her own coffin or whatever.
She winds up playing, like, the unwitting matchmaker here.
Yeah.
Even though she's trying to destroy this match, she really brings them together.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead.
Well, yeah, because, Well, we can just keep going.
Okay, because, Darcy will tell us. He then says, "It taught me to hope," said he, "as I had scarcely ever allowed myself to hope before. I knew enough of your disposition to be certain that, had you absolutely irrevocably decided against me, you would have acknowledged it to Lady Catherine, frankly and openly."
Yeah.
So this Lady Catherine goes, tells this whole story to Darcy, thinking this is going to, you know, turn him against Elizabeth, because in her mind they're getting proposed, like they're gonna get married already.
Mm-hmm.
And what in fact this does is teaches Darcy that Elizabeth is still interested in him.
Yeah.
Or is interested in him at all, I guess.
It's like almost like the Streisand effect, where, like, if you talk about something, you will know about it. Whereas, like, Darcy was unsure. Darcy was truly in the dark about how Elizabeth felt about him. But hearing Lady Catherine say that, when Lady Catherine went to go see Elizabeth and get her to promise not to get engaged to Mr. Darcy, and Elizabeth said, "I am not going to make that promise,"
mm-hmm.
that tells Darcy, like, oh, so there's a chance.
Yeah, so, right, exactly. Because if Elizabeth didn't want to, then why would she? Then if Elizabeth hated Darcy, of course she would just say, "I'm not going to marry him."
Yeah, which is why, like, the conversation Elizabeth had with Lady Catherine was so crucial, because had Elizabeth been a weaker-willed person, mm-hmm. had she just said, like, "Okay, I promise," then that's what Lady Catherine would have told Darcy, and that would have probably told Darcy that she was never going to want to marry him.
Right. Also, if Lady Catherine had done nothing, then yeah. this, like, engagement probably would have taken much longer to happen.
That's also true.
She sped up the process. She basically just, like, was a messenger to Darcy and was like, "Hey, Elizabeth's interested in you," even yeah. though she did it in the hope of dissuading him against her.
Right.
Thank you, Lady Catherine.
Thank you, Lady Catherine. Yeah. Elizabeth colored and laughed as she replied, "Yes, you know enough of my frankness to believe me capable of that."
Frankness is italicized. Why is that?
Well, because it's like, yeah, you know enough of my frankness. You yeah. know all about it to believe me capable of that. Basically, like, I would have told Lady Catherine.
I've already promised not to marry you once, you know.
After abusing you so abominably to your face, I could have no scruple in abusing you to all your relations.
So Elizabeth is back to being able to joke now.
Yeah, now she's... yeah, the lump in her throat is gone. Now she can, like, be more self-deprecating. Her usual charming self-deprecating self.
"What did you say of me that I did not deserve?" Darcy said, in reference to the last proposal. "For, though your accusations were ill-founded, formed on mistaken premises, my behavior to you at the time had merited the severest reproof. It was unpardonable. I cannot think of it without abhorrence. So he's still not letting go. Like, well, it is true that Elizabeth's too, like, the big accusation that was wrong was that you wronged Wickham. Mm. And he's kind of like saying, yeah, like, that accusation was still ill-founded and formed a mistaken premises, but it's mostly my fault because my behavior was terrible.
Yeah, like, regardless of whether or not the accusation stood, Mr. Darcy still acted really, like, unnobly and ungentlemanlike.
Yeah, so he recognizes that I behave like an ass, and I feel bad about it.
We will not quarrel for the greater share of blame annexed to that evening, said Elizabeth. The conduct of neither, if strictly examined, will be irreproachable. Another double negative. Mm-hmm. But since then, we have both, I hope, improved in civility. So she's like, yeah, well, neither of us were perfect that night, to say the least.
Let's not think about it. But I think we've both improved since then.
Yeah.
Darcy says, I cannot be so easily reconciled to myself. The recollection of what I then said, of my conduct, my manners, my expressions during the whole of it, is now, and has been many months, inexpressibly painful to me. Aww. Your reproof, so well applied, I shall never forget. Had you behaved in a more gentlemanlike manner, those were your words. You know not, you can scarcely conceive, how they have tortured me. Though it was some time, I confess, before I was reasonable enough to allow their justice. Hmm. I think that's, like, that phrase sticks with Darcy because he was just born into being a gentleman.
Yeah.
We're going to learn more of his backstory very shortly, but I think Darcy just went around before that moment, like, his whole life believing, like, I am a gentleman. You know, I don't have to do anything to, like, make it so. I'm just a gentleman by the fact that I'm Mr. Darcy, kind of.
Mm-hmm. I was born into this status.
Yeah, it doesn't reflect my behavior. And, like, Elizabeth saying that made him think for the first time, like, I have to actually work to being a gentleman. I have to earn that title. Yeah. I have to behave in a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also, I don't know, that's like an early example of, I'm sure it was around at that time also, but, you know, primarily in Regency era, a gentleman meant, like, someone of high birth, its original meaning.
Mm-hmm.
And then in time, it kind of became known as, like, oh, you know, a man who just, like, behaves gentlemanly, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was assigned, like, behavioral values later on.
Uh-huh. So this is almost Austin, like, you know, doing that work here. Yeah. It's like making,
subverting the monarchy.
Yeah, saying, like, you know, gentleman is more than just being highborn. There's some, like, behavior involved. You have to work at it a little bit.
Right. And in fact, if you are just born a gentleman and you act badly, then you are being ungentlemanly.
Uh-huh. Gentle also means high birth in its origin.
Yeah.
That's off topic, though. Okay. Yeah, so just rehashing more of what happened with their proposal. Like, you told me that I didn't act like a gentleman, and it really stuck with me, even though it took me a little while to, you know, give them the due credit. Like, I was too mad at first to, like, take it seriously, to really listen to what you were saying, but it eventually got through to me.
Yeah. Elizabeth goes, I was certainly very far from expecting them to make so strong an impression. I had not the smallest idea of their being ever felt in such a way. Like, Elizabeth's just like, I had no idea that these words lasted. Mm-hmm. Stayed with you.
Darcy says, I can easily believe it. You thought me then devoid of every proper feeling. I'm sure you did. The turn of your countenance I shall never forget, as you said that I could not have addressed you in any possible way that would induce you to accept me. He really has lived with these words. He has not forgotten any part of this.
This is all verbatim from that proposal. Like, these were Elizabeth's exact words, and it has been echoing in his brain, rattling in his brain ever since.
It's definitely to Darcy's credit that he didn't just, like, you know, walk away from that being like, well, she's white trash anyway.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why should I even listen to her? Like, she's just another one of her family.
And I think that also speaks to him just, like, he does care a lot about his place in life. It's not just like he's walking around being a, like, thinking he's a gentleman, not, like, giving it another, like, thought. It's like he does place a lot of pressure on himself to be a good gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, the and so, like, that like, that's the reason that these words stayed with him, because it's like she is the one who, like, showed him for the first time. It's like, oh, I've been behaving badly this
Yeah.
whole time.
Okay. Yeah, we're gonna talk all that's gonna all come up very shortly. We'll learn more about Darcy.
Oh, do not repeat what I then said. These recollections will not do at all. I assure you that I have been most heartily ashamed of it.
Of
So we're
like,
just having
yeah.
like, it's just like a back and forth of like, I behaved terribly. No, I behaved terribly. No, I behaved
They
terribly.
are, they're doing exactly what Elizabeth said that she didn't want to do, which is quarrel for the greater share of blame.
Yeah.
Darcy mentioned his letter. Did it, said he, did it soon make you think better of me? Did you, on reading it, give any credit to its contents?
She explained that its effect on her had been, and how gradually all her former prejudices had been removed.
Title of the book. Okay. I knew, said he, that what I wrote must give you pain, but it was necessary. I hope you have destroyed the letter. There was one part especially, the opening of it, the beginning part, which I should dread your having the power of reading again. I can remember some expressions which might justly make you hate me.
Okay, so if we go back, all the way back to the letter, which is in Volume 2, Chapter 12, here's a recap of how the letter starts. Be not alarmed, madam, on receiving this letter by the apprehension of its containing any repetition of those sentiments or renewal of those offers which were last night so disgusting to you.
So I think right away, it's super bitter, and it's also kind of like, I'm never gonna propose to you again. I think maybe that's part of the reason that it's still like revolving around his head.
Yeah. And yeah, he goes on also to say, I write without any intention of paining you or humbling myself by dwelling on wishes which, for the happiness of both, cannot be too soon forgotten.
So Darcy wrote this before he knew that he had to go through a process of
Yeah,
humbling.
he's like, I'm writing this to you not to humble myself, but actually, like, he did have to humble himself.
Yeah, to preserve my reputation. Okay, but he feels bad about that now. Yeah, and he's like, I hope you burn it.
Wait, so
And
who?
Elizabeth says, the letter shall certainly be
Oh, yeah.
burnt if you believed it essential to the preservation of my regard. But though we have both reason to think my opinions not entirely unalterable, they are not, I hope, quite so easily changed as that implies. Okay, what is she saying here?
It's like, okay, we'll burn it, but if you believe it essential to the preservation of my regard. But
Even though we know that I can change my opinions, i.e., I hated you and now I love you, I hope that they're not so easily changeable as, if I happen to read this letter again, that I would fall back out of love with you,
Yeah,
right?
she is more joking now. She's like, all right, I'll get rid of it, but don't think that I'm so fickle that reading this letter will, yeah, like you said, lead her to hate him once again.
I
As
feel, yeah.
it's not actually what Darcy is implying by like saying like, oh, please destroy the letter so that you will continue to love me, but that's how she's like playfully interpreting his
It's
words.
like, don't worry, I know I'm liable to change my mind, but I'm not gonna change it that easily.
Yeah.
I feel like Elizabeth has like a palpable weight has kind of been lifted off of her in this scene, and like she's allowed to be like joyous in a way we haven't seen her for like chapters.
It has been a hot second where she'd made like a joke that wasn't like a joke out of like gallows humor.
Well, because even after the Lydia situation was solved, like the whole she was living with this whole Darcy thing, all these questions about Darcy, and like why did he do it, and does he love me still, and do I love him,
Yeah.
Okay, when I wrote that letter, replied Darcy, I believed myself perfectly calm and cool, but I am since convinced that it was written in a dreadful bitterness of spirit. Yeah, that first sentence, it was definitely written in a bitterness
Yeah,
of spirit.
that you the proposal that you found so wholly disgusting, and it's like, it wasn't disgusting. It was just like, it wasn't like she was like some sort of like some had like a bodily revulsion to it. The letter perhaps began in bitterness, but it did not end so. The adieu is charity itself.
All right, let's see how he adieus it, how he signs off the letter. If your reports of me, this is from the letter, should make my assertions valueless, you cannot be prevented by the same cause from confiding in my cousin, and that there may be the possibility of consulting him. I shall endeavor to find some opportunity of putting this letter in your hands by the course of the morning, etc., etc.
Well, I will only add, God bless you.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's... it's not like, now go to hell. I never hope to see you again.
Yeah. I mean, towards the end, it sort of might have been like a therapeutic thing for him to do, like to write it all out, and then towards the end, he probably did cool off a little bit.
Well, he's even like, you know, if you don't believe me, you can talk to Fitzwilliam. I won't, like, I'm not going to impose on you to think that you'll just trust this man that you hate, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah.
And also, I think it was probably, it has something to do with the change Elizabeth went through reading the course of the letter. Like, she started reading it just as mad at Darcy, and by the end of it, she had it softened, definitely.
Yeah. The adieu itself, the adieu is charity itself, but think no more of the letter. The feelings of the person who wrote and the person who received it are now so widely different from what they were then that every unpleasant circumstance attending it ought to be forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, the past is the past. Who we are now, the two people here now are completely different than the two people who wrote and read the letter back then. So let's not dwell on it.
Right.
You must learn some of my philosophy. Think only of the past as its remembrance gives you pleasure.
That's Elizabeth's philosophy. I think that's a little joking.
Yeah. Elizabeth doesn't do that. She dwells on the past a lot.
Yeah.
She dwells on... Darcy, she dwelled on Darcy a lot. That did not give her pleasure.
I think now, at least, that's they can both no longer have to dwell on the way they behave to each other. You mm-hmm. know, they've found reconciliation.
Yeah, well, that's what Elizabeth's trying to get Darcy to do. But Darcy is really self-flagellating yeah. here.
Well, he's just used to it now after doing it for months. Darcy replies, "I cannot give you credit for any philosophy of the kind. Your retrospections must be so totally void of reproach that the contentment arising from them is not a philosophy, but what is much better, of ignorance." Meaning what?
Okay, so he's saying, I cannot give you credit for any philosophy of the kind. Mm-hmm. That just think about the past as it gives you pleasure.
Yeah.
Because he's saying, your memory of the situation must be so totally... void of reproach.
Mm-hmm. Like, you did nothing wrong, right? Nothing worth reproaching yourself over.
Yeah, that the contentment arising from them is not a philosophy. It's not of, like selecting what to remember.
Mm-hmm.
But it's of ignorance. Is that Elizabeth just... She didn't do anything wrong.
Right.
So she doesn't have anything bad to think about in uh-huh. terms of the past. That's what Darcy is saying, is yeah. that Elizabeth didn't act in any way that would give her reproach. That would have reproach.
That would be worth reproaching her.
Yeah,
yeah. That's not how Elizabeth felt. Elizabeth did feel like she did reproach herself for some of the things she said, but
yeah.
Darcy's like, this is just like a highfalutin way of saying you did nothing wrong, I feel like.
Right, uh-huh.
But with me, it is not so. That is not the case with me. Painful recollections will intrude, which cannot, which ought not to be repelled. I have been a selfish being all my life, in practice, though not in principle. So, it's not the case with me. I have lots of memories that are worth reproaching, and I think of them all the time, and I can't stop them, and also I shouldn't stop them, because I should think about my faults, right?
Mm.
And here we go. I've been a selfish person being all my life, in practice, though not in principle. Meaning, it wasn't my principle, it wasn't like part of my morals to be selfish. I was just selfish.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how I acted.
Selfishly.
Uh-huh. And this, now we're going to get some Darcy backstory. As a child, I was taught what was right, but not taught to correct my temper. I was given good principles, but left to follow them in pride and conceit. Unfortunately, an only son, for many years an only child, I was spoilt by my parents, who though good themselves, my father particularly, all that was benevolent and amiable, allowed, encouraged, almost taught me to be selfish and overbearing, to care for none beyond my own family circle, to think meanly of all the rest of the world, to wish, at least, to think meanly of their sense and worth compared with my own. Such I was from 8 to 28, and such I might have been but for you, dearest, loveliest Elizabeth.
Aww.
This is interesting. I think it's like... we've known Darcy so long that what actually it's after the proposal that we learn like the reason why Darcy is Darcy.
Yeah, we might have had like hints of it from like being from when Elizabeth and the gardeners visited Pemberley. Mm-hmm. But now we get it like from the source itself.
This is really, you know, we could have been like just imagine these things that he was spoiled as a child, but this is the first time we're really getting that information.
Yeah, he was brought up with like principles of how to act like a gentleman or how to be a gentleman, but I think in a way that almost gave him license to act like a brat.
Yeah, well, they never tried to correct his temper. They taught him good principles, but they let him follow them in pride and conceit. Like he like did do good things, but in the wrong way. Like he was proud and conceitful of them.
Yeah,
he would do good things thinking about how good of a person this makes me look.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, an only son, and for many years an only child, because he's much older than Georgiana Darcy. He was spoiled by his parents, and even though they were good themselves, my father particularly was all that was benevolent and amiable. They allowed, encouraged, always taught me to be selfish and overbearing. So this is partially his parents' fault. And I think the Darcy name kind of comes with it. They're like, you're a Darcy, you know, you're better than the rest of everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, they definitely did not teach him humility.
Yeah, and then this is important. To care for none beyond my own family circle, to think meanly of all the rest of the world, to think lowly, and to wish, at least, to think meanly of their sense and worth compared with my own.
Mm.
So I think that's...
Well, yeah, essentially, like, his parents just taught him to, like, look down his nose at the rest of the world.
Not only did they taught him to look down his nose at the rest of the world, they taught him to, like, want to be better than other people.
Mm.
To want to think that you're better, I guess. To have that desire, that almost need to think that you're better than people around you.
That's pretty evil.
I mean, I don't think they maliciously did it. I think that's just who they were, you know?
Yeah, I mean, they are... The Darcy name is, like, one of the most powerful names in all of England.
Mm.
So, like, it's just what... Yeah, you know, you just... With the title comes the... I mean, it's just... You're born into such a high standing.
Yeah.
It's like, you're not gonna not be raised under the assumption that you're better than other people.
That's what... They themselves believe is, yeah, we are better than other people. We're closer to God. That's really what they believed. And we see that in, like, Lady Catherine.
Mm-hmm.
So Lady Catherine's another clue to maybe the upbringing Darcy had, even though his parents would have been better than Lady Catherine.
Yeah.
Okay, because they are charitable still. Like, his father was very charitable.
That's true.
But he might have been doing it out of pride and conceit. Who knows?
Yeah, more about to just preserve the name rather than, like, out of the goodness of his heart.
Okay. And then the real crux of it is, like, this. There's a little bit of poetry. This is what I was from 8 to 28, and I might have been this my whole life, but you changed me, Elizabeth, right?
Dearest, loveliest Elizabeth.
Uh-huh.
That's the first time I think he's called her by her name.
Oh.
Because now they're engaged.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's okay.
Yeah, it's okay. She's not Miss Bennet anymore.
Mm. And now we also learn his age. He is 28 years old. Ugh. Imagine being 28, the head of your house, the head of, like, the most powerful household in the country.
Darcy does have a lot of responsibility for a relatively young man. Way more than Mr. Bingley.
Yes, that's true.
Okay, yeah, so it's all because of you, Elizabeth. You changed me. I would have been proud and conceitful my whole life if it wasn't for you. What do I not owe you? You taught me a lesson, hard indeed at first, but most advantageous. By you, I was properly humbled. I came to you without a doubt of my reception. You showed me how insufficient were all my pretensions to please a woman worthy of being pleased.
Wow.
He's been properly humbled. That's a good phrase for it.
Yeah, he got a good tongue lashing.
And this was, you know, this was the original sin of his last proposal, which is he came in without any idea that she would ever say no, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you showed me how insufficient all my pretensions were to please a woman worthy of being pleased. So he's like, everything he just described, his, like, former pride and conceit and pretensions and, like, being a high, important, rich man, like, that's nothing. That doesn't really please a woman worthy of being pleased.
Mm, that's true, yeah.
It, like, pleases... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, what?
It pleases Miss Bingley.
Yeah, it pleases a less worthy woman.
Yeah. Well, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, just, like, Yeah, that like everything that he worked up for to his entire life, it means nothing. It's empty. It's hot air. His pride and conceit. What is it if it's not gonna? What is it if it's just you're proud and if it's just pride and conceit? It's like it's nothing.
Yeah, it's not gonna please a woman worthy of being pleased.
And Elizabeth goes, "Had you then persuaded yourself that I should?
Should what?
Should have accepted his proposal?"
I think what she's asking is, were you really persuaded that I was going to accept your proposal, right?
Yeah,
Yeah, that I.
because Darcy says, "I came to you without a doubt of my reception." Yeah.
Had you then persuaded yourself that I should? The should is just a little confusing, but basically he's asking, were you really so convinced, right? Or so firm in that belief? And Darcy's like, he says, indeed I had. What will you think of my vanity? I believed you to be wishing, expecting my addresses.
I believed you to be wishing, expecting my addresses.
Darcy thought that Elizabeth was waiting for him to propose to her. I don't know what he based that on.
That she was nice. That she was nice to him. That she was charming.
It's mostly his pride and conceit, because like he
Yeah.
hadn't done anything to woo her. He hadn't been charming to her at all.
No, not at all. He was waving his 10,000 a year in front of her. That's what he was doing.
That might be it. But so that's it's just an extension of his pride. It's like, oh, I just thought you were gonna say yes no matter what. I thought anything that you were waiting for me to propose.
That's probably what he was raised to think, that like anyone would say yes to a Darcy, so. And she goes, "My manners must have been in fault, but not intentionally, I assure you. I never meant to deceive you of my intentions, but my spirits might often lead me wrong. How you must have hated me after that evening."
So what does Elizabeth say here?
She's saying like maybe like my spirits might have led you to think I was waiting for a proposal.
But I never intentionally try to get you to propose to me.
Yeah, like, I'm not trying to say like, oh, she led him on, but it's just like, I think she just has a very naturally lively personality that could be, not saying that like could have been misconstrued as flirting back then. Because she was kind of just as lively with Wickham as she was with like
They did
Darcy.
have
They had a
good
tete-a-tete,
banter,
yeah.
yes.
They had proper banter. So like it's not totally out of this world for Darcy to have thought Elizabeth was flirting, which is what Elizabeth is conceding right
It's
now.
like maybe like my high spirits, confused you. Maybe I should have been a little bit more reserved. But I think this is really Darcy's fault. I think it's an extension of his pride that he thought he could just walk into any room and like have any wife he wanted without
Yeah.
working at it.
And we know for a fact that Elizabeth never wanted a proposal from Darcy because we know that she was just as surprised when he proposed to her.
So yeah, Elizabeth's like, how you must have hated me after that evening, the infamous proposal. Hate you, Darcy said. I was angry perhaps at first, but my anger soon began to take a proper direction, aka at myself.
Yeah, I internalized that anger and I worked on myself from it. I am almost afraid of asking what you thought of me when we met at Pemberley. You blamed me for coming?
When she was at Pemberley with the gardeners. Darcy says, no, indeed, I felt nothing but surprise.
Your surprise could not be greater than mine in being noticed by you. My conscience told me that I deserve no extraordinary politeness, and I confess I did not expect to receive more than my due.
Notice meaning like he was him being so nice to her.
Yeah, like at the most, she could have expected him to just be like cordial, but actually, like as we remember at Pemberley, he went like above and beyond like polite and like even like got to know the gardeners.
Let Mr. Gardener fish in his streams. My object then, replied Darcy at that time, was to show you, by every civility in my power, that I was not so mean as to resent the past, and I hope to obtain your forgiveness, to lessen your ill opinion, by letting you see that your reproofs have been attended to. How soon any other wishes introduce themselves, I can hardly tell. But I believe in about half an hour after I had seen you.
Aw.
This is more of Darcy being like, here's my stated motivation, but also, yeah, there were other motivations
Yeah,
too.
I wanted to show you that I was a changed man, But I had other wishes too,
Yeah,
which
well,
was to make you fall in love with me.
first off, I gave you all that notice to show you that I didn't resent you for your rejection, right? Secondly, it's to obtain your forgiveness and hopefully lessen your ill opinion of me, right? By showing you that I'm working on being so prideful. And I don't know how soon any other wishes came after that, but it was probably about a half hour after seeing you. Any other wishes being, I want you to fall in love with me.
Yeah, any other wishes? Any other unnamed wishes?
He then told her of Georgiana's delight in her acquaintance and of her disappointment at its sudden interruption, which naturally leading to the cause of that interruption, she soon learnt that his resolution of following her from Derbyshire in quest of her sister had been formed before he quitted the inn, and that his gravity and thoughtfulness there had arisen from no other struggles than what such a purpose must comprehend.
So now we get why he was so he looked so like thoughtful when Elizabeth told him about Lydia running away with Wickham. 'Cause if we kind of recall, he kind of just like stood there silently, and then he was just like, this is clearly an awkward time for your family. I will give you leave. And then he just left the room. And Elizabeth was like, oh God, he hates me now.
Yeah,
He hates me
right.
and
He
my
never wants
trashy
to see me
family.
again.
But actually, he's already formulating a plan to go find Wickham in that
Right.
moment.
Yeah, so the gravity and thoughtfulness that Darcy showed in that moment, Elizabeth construed as he just wants to get away from me. But in fact, Darcy was forming the whole plan right then and there.
Yeah, he was like, ready my horse.
And also, so when it says he talks about Georgiana and how she was disappointed that Elizabeth had to leave so suddenly, and this phrase, which naturally leading to the cause of that interruption, meaning, and that com subject l led them next onto the subject of Lydia, right?
Okay. She expressed her gratitude again, but it was too painful a subject to each to be dwelt on farther. Yeah, because no, neither of them want to talk about Lydia and Wickham.
Let's just move on from that subject.
Yeah, new topic.
After walking several miles in a leisurely manner, what a walk, and too busy to know anything about it, they found at last, on examining their watches, that it was time to be at home.
Aw, time just goes by so fast when you are with the one you love. What could become of Bingley and Jane was a wonder which introduced the discussion of their affairs.
Meaning Bingley and Jane's affairs.
Yeah. Darcy was delighted with their engagement. His friend had given him the earliest information of it.
That's another change for Darcy. He was not delighted with the prospect of it at one
I
point.
must ask whether you were surprised, said Elizabeth.
Not at all. When I went away, I felt that it would soon happen. The Bingley Jane
Yeah.
engagement.
With that is to say, you had given your permission. I guessed as much.
And though Darcy exclaimed at the term permission, she found that had been pretty much the case. So yeah, that's what happened. Darcy's like, okay, you're allowed to marry Jane now. He didn't say in so many words.
But he kind of just gave his unofficial blessing.
On the evening before my going to London, said Darcy, I made a confession to Bingley. This most recent time when he went to London. I made a confession to Bingley, which I believe I ought to have made long ago. I told him of all that had occurred to me. Oh, I'm sorry. I told him that all that had occurred to make my former interference in his affairs absurd and impertinent. His surprise was great. He had never had the slightest suspicion. Oh, poor Bingley. I told him, well, I guess it's Darcy's friend. I told him, moreover, that I believed myself mistaken in supposing, as I had done, that your sister was indifferent to him. And as I could easily perceive that his attachment to her was unabated, I felt no doubt of their happiness together. So before Darcy leaves to London, this most recent time, he like pulls Bingley aside and he tells him, "Remember when I told you not to marry Jane? That was absurd and impertinent. I never should have given you that advice." Bingley's surprise was great. I guess just Bingley is like surprised at the sudden reversal, kind of.
Yeah. He's like, oh wow, you were just telling me that actually this was a terrible mistake to propose to her.
He had never had the slightest suspicion that his advice was absurd and impertinent, maybe, or maybe about everything that's happened between now and the interference.
Yeah.
Okay. I told him, moreover, that I believed myself mistaken in supposing, as I had done, that Jane was indifferent to him. And since I knew he was still attached to her, I felt no doubt that they were going to be happy together forever, right?
Well, the high thing is the slightest suspicion of his interference, that he basically took him to London to get away
To get
from
him
Jane.
away,
Yeah,
yeah.
or like, or not took him away, but like forced him to stay in London, and that it was all because to it was to get away, her away, him away from
I
Jane.
guess just like the machinations
Yeah,
that's behind it.
the
Like,
whole scheme.
yeah, Bingley had no idea.
Yeah,
Why can't I
Elizabeth.
see Jane anymore?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, poor puppy. Elizabeth could not help smiling at his easy manner of directing his friend.
Meaning what?
Like what? Like,
Elizabeth finds it funny that Bingley is so dependent on
yeah.
Darcy, kind of.
I know.
Well, this is why now it's a great match. Now he's married to Bingley's sister-in-law. Well, now they're brother-in-laws, right? Darcy and Bingley.
Oh yeah, soon to be, yeah. Did you speak from your own observation, said Elizabeth, when you told him that my sister loved him, or merely from my information last spring?
From the former, meaning his own observation. I had narrowly observed her during the two visits which I had lately made here, and I was convinced of her affection.
So that was the reason why Elizabeth was so frustrated at Darcy not paying attention to her when they had dinner at Longbourn's, because whenever she did look up at Darcy, she saw that Darcy was looking at Bingley or Jane. And so that was when Elizabeth was like, why is he here if he's not gonna like look at me? And it turns out it's because he was astutely observing how Jane acted around Bingley, and the consensus is that yeah, she is in love with Bingley.
That was the object of that visit. So all these loose ends are being tied up. Every confusion's being explained. Okay.
Okay. Elizabeth goes, and your assurance of it, I suppose, carried immediate conviction to him. So like, and then once you deemed Jane was in love with Bingley, then Bingley also thought that Jane was in love with Bingley.
It did. Bingley is most unaffectedly modest, unlike Darcy. His diffidence had prevented his depending on his own judgment in so anxious a case, but his reliance on mine made everything easy.
A great thing to say about your friend.
So, what does diffidence mean again?
It means like modesty or like lack of self-confidence.
Yeah, I think especially in this case. So, Bingley's lack of self-confidence prevents him from making so big of a decision as to whom I'm going to marry on only his own judgment, right? He needs like the advice of his friends, particularly Darcy.
Yeah, which is why he was the perfect target for Darcy.
Okay, Darcy goes on to say, "I was obliged to confess one thing which for a time and not unjustly offended him. I could not allow myself to conceal that your sister had been in town 3 months last winter, meaning in London, that I had known it and purposely kept it from him. He was angry, but his anger, I am persuaded, lasted no longer than he remained in any doubt of your sister's sentiments. He has heartily forgiven me now."
Great.
So the one thing that Darcy reveals to Bingley did make him very angry, which is that he lied to him when Jane was in London and told him that she wasn't there.
Yeah.
Or, like, never gave him any information of it at all.
Right. But he quickly got over that
He got over.
because
Yeah, go ahead.
it, yeah, his anger lasted no longer than he doubted of Jane's love. So like once he like as long as it took Bingley to realize that Jane still loved him, it was exactly as how long he stayed mad at
Yeah,
Darcy.
once Jane said yes, all was forgiven.
Yeah, it's like, well, okay, well, it's all water under the bridge now. I need a best man at my wedding.
All right, you want to read this last paragraph for us?
Elizabeth longed to observe that Mr. Bingley had been a most delightful friend, so easily guided that his worth was invaluable. But she checked herself. She remembered that he had yet learned to be laughed at, and it was rather too early to begin.
Here she is playing Mr. Bennet a little bit here,
Yeah, except
laughing at the relatives. Yeah.
well, except she's not laughing out loud. She is holding her
She's holding
tongue.
it in. Yeah, that's
Yeah,
true. Mr. Bennet would have made this observation out loud.
that's the difference between her and Mr. Bennet. And that is why she will have a happier marriage than Mr. Bennet.
Yes, and this is a joke. Bingley's such a delightful friend because he's so easily guided.
That his worth was invaluable, because who doesn't want a friend who just completely relies on you for your opinion?
Yes, but you remember that Bingley had yet to learn to be
loved. No, that Darcy.
Oh, yeah.
She remembered that Darcy had yet to learn to be laughed at, and it was rather too early to begin.
He will, though.
He will. Uh-huh. He will learn to laugh at himself when he marries Elizabeth.
And also, he's going to have to learn that Mr. Bennett's going to be making jibes. And Elizabeth's going to be making fun of him also.
That's right. It's too early to begin, which means that she'll start later, after the wedding. In anticipating the happiness of Bingley, which of course was to be inferior to his own, Darcy continued the conversation till they reached the house. In the hall, they parted.
Aw. All right.
And that's it.
Chapter 16. Wow.
We did it.
It's happened.
Here was what we were waiting for all along.
I can't believe it. They're finally together.
They're finally engaged.
Yeah. Ugh, it's been a long road.
But it was a necessary road.
Yeah. Well, they couldn't have gotten engaged at any point earlier. You know, it's not like they were just both, like, awkward and didn't want to say, you know. They weren't sure of each other until very recently.
Yeah, it's a little, I mean, it's different from Jane and Bingley because it's like, the only thing that kept Jane and Bingley from marrying sooner was just circumstance, was outside forces. Mm-hmm. Whereas Elizabeth and Darcy both had to change in order to become compatible with each other. Like, in certain ways, they did jive well with each other. Like, they sparred well, and, like, they both kind of felt compelled to have conversations with each other. But they had to change kind of almost fundamentally in some ways in order to deserve the other.
Yeah, that's a good point. It's all about them. Mm-hmm. You know, outside forces aren't forcing them to be together.
Yeah.
Lady Catherine tried to force them to be apart very ineffectually.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's the only outside force which actually tried to keep these two apart. And it backfired in a hilarious way.
Yeah, Lady Catherine, unwitting matchmaker.
I know. But so we got to it.
I hope everyone enjoyed it as much as we did.
Yes.
Well, we still have a few more chapters, a few more loose ends to tie up.
Yes, yes. Don't worry. Your cast of characters will make their final bow on stage.
Well, we have to see how everyone's going to react to this news.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, well, let's cut it off there then.
Okay.
So, until next time, I'm Tom.
And I'm Grace.
Bye.